HD1 Northridge, Los Angeles, KSBR and KSBR HD1 Mission Viejo, a service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Member-supported public radio. Voted Station of the Year by our peers in American Public Music Radio.
Hey, I'm Carmel Holt, and welcome to She Rose Radio, a space that was created to turn up the volume of women's voices and gender-expansive folks in song and conversation. We're here not only to amplify, but multiply those voices that you may not even be aware you're missing, but are still not heard in equal numbers on the airwaves and in music. So we get together each week for an hour of songs and interviews featuring the trailblazers and the new visionaries across genres, generations, and identities, hosted, produced, and powered by women and queer folks. To quote Gloria Steinem, revolutions come from combining what exists into what has never existed before. This radio revolution starts now.
Tonight.
Happy birthday to hole drummer and queer icon Patty Schemmel, who is 57 on Wednesday, April 24th, just a couple weeks after the album Live Through This marked its 30th anniversary. We heard Doll Parts on She Rose Radio. And it was the Mercury Prize-winning UK band The Last Dinner Party with The Feminine Urge off Prelude to Ecstasy. Welcome to She Rose Radio, my friends. I'm your host, Carmel Holt. It is so great to see you as always, as together we turn up the volume of women's voices in song and conversation for the next hour. This week, we welcome Bridget Carney, best known as the bassist and songwriter for Lake Street Dive, who's just put out a new solo album called Comeback Kid. And we'll chat with Bridget and hear some of that album coming up in the second part of the show. So stay with us for that. The Queen of Jazz, Ella Fitzgerald, was born April 25th, 1917, celebrating her birthday this week on She Rose with this Cole Porter classic.
Educated fleas, do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. In Spain, the best upper sets, do it. Lithuanians, and let's do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. The Dutch in old Amsterdam, do it. Not to mention the Finns, folks in Siam, do it. Think of Siamese twins, some Argentines without means, do it. People say in Boston even beans, do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. Romantic sponges, they say, do it. Oysters down in Oyster Bay, do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. Cold Cape Cod clams against their wish, do it. Even lazy jellyfish, do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. Electric eels, I might add, do it. Though it shocks him, I know. If Chad do it, way to bring me Chad and Roe in shadow shows. English souls, do it. Goldfish in the privacy of bowls, do it.
Dude. Nora Jones and Can You Believe from her newest album, Visions. If you missed Nora on She Rose, check that out on the She Rose podcast and download and subscribe so you never miss another interview. Also celebrating the 107th birthday of the Queen of Jazz this week, Ella Fitzgerald, born April 25th, 1927. We heard Let's Do It. Let's Fall in Love. Next up, our She Rose conversation with Bridget Carney of Lake Street Dive when She Rose Radio continues.
Hello, this is Jason Isbell.
Hey, everybody, this is Grace Potter.
Hello, this is King Tuff.
Hey, this is Bethany Cosentino.
Hey, this is Josh from the Teske Brothers.
Hey, this is Boy Genius. Support public radio in Southern California by making a donation to thesocalsound.org.
Nothing is more important than family. The best way to cherish them is to take care of your health so you can enjoy more of life's precious moments. Life's Essential 8 is the American Heart Association's checklist for lifelong good health. Quitting tobacco, managing your blood pressure, and getting adequate sleep are a few ways to improve your heart and brain health and prevent heart attack and stroke. More information about Life's Essential 8 is at heart.org/lifes8.
88.5, the SoCal Sound.
You're listening to She Rose, and I'm Carmel Holt. Bridget Carney is best known as one of the founding members of Lake Street Dive and is their bassist, vocalist, and one of the primary songwriters for the band. As an award-winning and prolific songwriter and an artist who's always been musically adventurous by nature, Bridget's also been releasing solo albums since 2007 and involved with numerous side projects. A quick tally on her Wikipedia page, I counted 16 albums among them, not including the 11, soon to be 12 albums she's recorded and written for with Lake Street Dive. Bridget, who's Iowa-born and Brooklyn-based, is also an in-demand collaborator, and she's written for, toured with, and recorded with a growing list of artists like Ed Sheeran, Margaret Glasby, Aoife O'Donovan, Rodney Crowell, and so many others. And somehow, she also finds time to teach instrumental and songwriting lessons, including a course at Princeton University. Bridget's third album under her own name, Name just came out and is yet another fantastic showcase for her brilliant songcraft skills, musicianship, and emotional range. I'm so thrilled to welcome the multi-talented Bridget Carney as this week's Shero in the Spotlight. Bridget Carney, welcome to Shero's. Yay!
Thank you, Carmel. Good to be back.
How do you determine what is a Bridget Carney solo work and where it falls in all of your various projects and configurations?
I think having solo projects as one outlet and like what I do with Ben and Will as a second outlet has made me a better collaborator as a band member of Lake Street Dive. I feel way psyched about that just being a really true democracy and collaborative effort to see what we do together. And then the other projects are like also collaborative in their own way. You know, it's called a solo record, but because you're a solo artist, you can make that cast of collaborators like different every time if you want. So yeah, that part feels really exciting and fun and freeing. And then I think most songs could go in a lot of directions, but specifically the difference between sending a song to Rachel to sing and sing it myself. I think Rachel has a inherent power to her voice and her delivery, and she always sounds very strong. And my voice is like sort of on the opposite end of the spectrum. It sounds like very soft and vulnerable and weak, I guess, or something, you know, but not weak as like not a bad thing, but just as like a quality. And so choosing which songs you want to have those two qualities can really like change a song. And also like there are things that I can write for Rachel to sing that I like simply couldn't pull off. Like I would say Good Kisser is a great example where I'm like, you sing that. But yeah, it ends up that like a lot of the songs that I put on my solo record are like ones that don't seem right for Lake Street Dive because I want them to be a little more vulnerable and inhabit a different emotional space. And then the stuff that I do with Ben and Will feels like very experimental musically. It's the most out there that I get to be.
Let's put Comeback Kid in a timeline.
So I started writing these songs, I guess, in the first couple of years of COVID. And I was doing some of these like song a day groups. So Alex and Cal from Rebel Bucket hosted a group that was 7 days. And you have to write one song each day and you need to email it to them by the time they wake up in the morning. Otherwise, you're kicked out. So that was where I first started writing songs for this record. And the song Comeback Kid was maybe one of the earlier songs. And I immediately sort of latched on to that as like a possible album title. I think partially as the reopening of the world after COVID, like, you know, we'd all been through this thing together and endured it and had come out on the other side. And then as that also just like related to kind of some things in my own life where like my first solo record is called Won't Let You Down, which is like very kind of like positive, upper, good spirits. And then the second solo record is called Snakes of Paradise. And it was definitely like coming from a place of going through some, you know, yeah, and trying to get out the other side. And so Comeback Kid kind of felt like, okay, we're back, you know, but the story continues as always. And you continue to have your ups and downs. And that's certainly present in this record too. That song Comeback Kid also is like partially about comeback in the context of sports comeback, like heroic efforts to win the game. But it's also like comebacks in the meaning of like a punchline at the end of a joke, that kind of comeback. And then finally the chorus is like, I'm the comeback kid. You know that I can't quit saying come back, come back, come back to me. So there's kind of that looking backwards and still feeling sort of like attached to the past.
Somewhere
That's Comeback Kid, and it wraps up the new album by the same name by Bridget Carney, and was one of the first songs that you wrote, but you put it as a bookend for the album, which I kind of love. So at what point did you know that you were making an album?
In the winter of 2021, I was producing a record for the band The Brother Brothers, and they had just discovered that this was a good thing to be doing during the pandemic, is making records, because the shows weren't really happening. And at that time, I probably had 5 songs that I was happy with that I thought could be a batch. And I was like, wow, these guys are onto something. I should just be starting to make a record, and I should be like making the most of this time and sort of availability that people have right now. And so that was what made me think of Dan Malad as a producer. And he was somebody that I've known for probably 20 years, like since Boston days when he was at Berkeley and I was at NEC, but we never made anything together before. And I love his production and mixing. So yeah, I reached out to him and we did the first 5 songs. And then I took another year or so to write more, and we did another 3 songs, and then another 6 months and wrote 2 more songs and finished it.
So you also produce, and we talk about production a lot on this show because you don't often see women's names next to production credits. So I was curious about what role Dan took, what roles you had, and how you feel about taking those kinds of credits for your work.
Yeah. So I was bringing into Dan, for the most part, like pretty fleshed out demos. Like the demos would be multi-tracked with a guitar part, a drum part, a bass part, you know, all the layers of vocal harmonies and a song form. And in some cases, we would even use those sounds. But I guess because of the nature of making a solo record, I was also very grateful to have a producer that was keeping me out of the deeper rabbit holes that you could go on you're like doing everything yourself. So I appreciated from Dan, and also from the 2 engineers that worked on the record, Rob Shelton and John Joseph, that they were coming in towards the end of the process with fresh ears and fresh ideas. But we were mostly kind of retracking the ideas that I put into the demos with better, more interesting sounds, which again, I think is something Dan does like really well. And I would play a lot of the parts, like guitar, keyboards. Dan was doing all the drums and percussion, and I was playing bass, which is my main instrument. And that's kind of how I made my first 2 solo records too, is like me and a producer layering all the stuff, with a few exceptions. There's a few guests on the record too. But yeah, there is a thing where I think culturally there are assumptions made about women and what role they played in records. So as much as I wouldn't call myself a producer or an engineer on this record, it might be worth going out of my way just for the sake of like changing those expectations to be like, yeah, I took the guitar solo, you know, like that's me. because again, yeah, there's just assumptions.
Yeah. I forget who it was that I was talking to once that was talking about the default that they had. They were talking about how they made their record and who they collaborated with, and all the people on the record and everyone who worked on it top to bottom, with the exception of them, were male. Mm-hmm. And when I was asking her about her choices, she was just like, you know, it's funny. I feel like I have actually sort of a default. It's actually not something that is conscious at all. And these are just the people that have always been around me. And I don't really think about it. But now that you're saying that, oh, that's interesting. Maybe I should think about that. So anyway.
Yeah, this is definitely, I mean, something that we think about a lot. With Lake Street Dive, with who our openers are, I mean, I'm putting together various live versions of this record, which will be different bands in different places because it's mostly just me and Dan playing things on the record. So yeah, that's something I think about, is not to go with the default, like not to hire women just because they're women necessarily, but to like make sure they're on my list of people to call, you know. And in certain realms, it's really difficult. Like I would say, as you said, like specifically on the more like engineering, producing, like there just aren't as many women to call. But, you know, hopefully this is something that we can like continue to open doors for future generations. And even in a earlier stage of high school, junior high, like making sure that young women have ways to get their hands on these things as early as possible to like find their passion for it and develop their talents.
And confidence too.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And I'll say for me, I play the bass, which is not a super common instrument for women to play. But my first three bass teachers were women. So I have them to thank for making it seem like something a woman could do.
We have Bridget Carney with us. The new album is Come Back Kid. Let's pick another track. Your choice. What would you like to play next?
Let's do Security Camera.
Oh, I love this song. And I also really love the video. Talk to us about the song and also curious about the production sonic palette that you chose for the song.
Yeah. So sometimes the way that I like to write is just keeping a little notes app on my phone that's ideas for songs, thematic or lyrical ideas. I mean, the word security camera was probably what I had in my phone and nothing else, you know. But to me, what was interesting about that was, especially in New York City where I live, you're always walking around and it'll be a sign that says like, you know, security cameras watching you, don't do anything bad. They're sort of intended to catch people in the act of a crime, but they also capture like all these beautiful, amazing things that are happening all the time. And so the idea was like looking back to some of your most precious memories of like these perfect ephemeral moments. If you could go back to the security camera footage and just hold on to that moment forever, which, yeah, I think there's something sad about that and something hopeful about that, which is an interesting combination to me. It's also kind of about allowing yourself to love fully experiences that were temporary. So I guess you could even relate it to like the sort of emphasis on like marriage and relationships that last a lifetime and the hierarchy of that being like perceived as the goal or the best. And it's like, for some people it is. And in some instances, maybe you can have a totally wonderful relationship that's only a month long or however long it is, but you get to keep that in your security camera of your memory. And hopefully you can keep it in a way that can remain positive no matter what happened in the end. Security camera, roll back the tape. I wanna see that day that he stole my heart. Security camera, make my day. You hit the playback on my favorite bar. When the sun went down, the city lit.
Security Camera from the new Bridget Carney album, Come Back Kid. Bridget's our guest today on She Rose, and I'm Carmel Holt. So for those that don't know a lot about you and your background, would you mind helping our listeners understand like how this all came to be, like your journey with music?
Yeah, so I grew up in Iowa City, Iowa, and I started playing the bass in the fourth grade, partially because the school orchestra started like the year before the school band. And so I was really excited about playing an instrument, and my choices were limited if I wanted to start right away. And so I was kind of thought to myself, well, I'll just play this one for a year and then switch to one of those cool shiny band instruments. But then by the time the year came around, I started to enjoy the bass, and also had a kind of family friend who was a woman who was in high school that was playing the bass. And so she made it seem really cool to me. And there's a great teacher at the University of Iowa, Diana Gannett, who's an incredible classical bass player. So yeah, those people were around and making it seem cool to play the bass. And so I continued and was studying like classical music and jazz, and also writing songs. Like in junior high, I had a rock band that I was playing electric bass in and writing songs for. But then in high school, I sort of got diverted into this jazz lane for a while where I was like, nothing is cool except for jazz. I only want to play acoustic bass. And so that is kind of what led me to go to New England Conservatory. And NEC was a really cool space. It was like relatively small, maybe 150 people in the jazz department, but their definition of jazz and improvisation was super wide. The amazing thing about bass is that it exists in like almost every style. And so I found myself in college just playing in like 15 different bands at a time and all kinds of genres. And that was like so exciting and just like fulfilling. And meanwhile, one of those projects was Lake Street Dive, which started at the end of my freshman year of college. Me, Rachel, Mike Calabrese, and McDuck formed that band. And we were calling it free country music. So it's like avant-garde country music, but we didn't really know how to do either of those things. So it, I don't know. It was whatever it was. It was very weird for 7 years or so. but we got along. We liked hanging out together. And so we kind of found our way finally to like something that people liked and that we liked actually. And so after college, moved to New York, and like still at that time, I think I was thinking of my path as maybe being a jazz bass player. And Lake Street Dive just slowly was growing and became a more important part of the way I thought of my life. And like, I think that was also around the time that I started to think of myself as more of a songwriter than a bass player. And so those are almost like two different identities, bass player, side person behind the scenes, and then like songwriter sometimes also in the background, or now sometimes in the spotlight. And Lake Street Dive kind of took off. So thankfully and miraculously, we're all still astounded at the fan base that we have these days. It's like totally incredible. And we still get along. We have a good time together. We have a good time making music together. So that's been my main job for the last 10 years or so. But we work maybe, we're shooting for 90 days per year on the road, and then maybe studio time in addition to that. So I think part of why I'm still like to have all these projects and wear different hats is like almost going back to those college days where like as the bass player you were always jumping around into these different scenarios musically, socially, lifestyle wise. It's so enriching to get to continually like be a part of music in like different ways.
Totally. And you also always seem to be traveling somewhere and doing musical projects that are outside of your normal comfort zone. You want to talk to us a little bit about some of those travels and explorations that you've done?
Yeah. So in college, I did a semester abroad in Morocco, which was actually through Tufts University. Like I was going to New England Conservatory and Tufts double degree program. And so it wasn't like a music program. It was to learn Arabic and culture and history and stuff. But in Morocco, I found this community of Gnawa musicians that totally brought me into the fold. They would let me come over to their band practice every day after school. I would go there and they would just be like sitting, passing this instrument called the Gimri around in a circle and like teach me songs, and brought me to these overnight healing ceremonies that they have because their music is part of a Sufi Islamic healing tradition. So that was one of my like first experiences getting to be a part of music abroad. And it was so wonderful and expanding. And musically, you know, we think of things either as duple, duck, straight, or swung, like duck. And a lot of their rhythms are like in between those two things. And so that was just breaking open a whole world to me that like, oh, I thought there was only these two things. And there's actually like a spectrum all the way in between those two things. Getting to play music in different parts of the world, you realize time and time again, like, oh, I thought there were these rules and they're not actually rules. And then you also like make all these friends and get to see what other aspects of life are like in other parts of the world. So yeah, ever since then, I've been really in love with getting to do that. And Ben Davis and I had both studied Ghanaian rhythms in college with a teacher of ours who had spent some time in Ghana. And so we had the dream that we wanted to just go there and find some people to study with and like experience the music there. And so we went for like a month in maybe 2010 and learned all this amazing music and made an EP there. And then we went back again like 5 years later and made a whole record that we like wrote with these Ghanaian musicians that we met there and recorded there. Yeah. So that's kind of an ongoing thing that I hope to do again sometime, is get back there and get to collaborate with musicians that we've met there. And then recently I was in Brazil for the first time. My friend Jeremy Gustin was down there playing drums, and we had our band maternity leave for Rachel's baby, Jupiter. And Jeremy's like, yeah, I have this gig in Rio. Like, it's 3 months and I'm flying out to different parts of Brazil every weekend. Then I was like, that sounds like a good life. And so I made a plan to just come down and visit and hang and see some of the shows. And then weirdly, the bass player in the trio got his hand closed in a door like a week before I was going. And Jeremy's like, do you want to play some bass with us, actually? And so unexpectedly was thrown onto these like pretty big stages in Brazil, like 2,000-3,000 people. This guy Tiago York is the artist that Jeremy was touring with. And again, yeah, it's just crazy like how music connects you to people that you don't speak the same language and wouldn't otherwise get to like really connect with.
So amazing. Bridget Carney, I want your life.
It's pretty great. It's pretty great.
It's been so fun to hang out with you. Before we wrap it up, let's do the Shiro's Magic Wand, where I give you the Shiro's Magic Wand. And I say, with this wand, you could change anything in the music business for women, non-binary people, queer folks. First wave of the wand, what would you change?
Whoa. Oh, my goodness. I guess I would maybe change those, what we were talking about earlier, as default settings. Change the assumptions that are made about who is capable of what and who must have written the song or who must have been the guitar player. Or I wish I could shine a spotlight on the reality of what people are already doing and the reality of what people are capable of.
I love it. Thank you so much. Thank you for being here. Pick a song to take us out with today.
Okay, let's play Obsessed. So Obsessed, the song, is a pretty genuine love song. It's kind of about like the magic in the first phase of falling in love with someone, where like it comes out of nowhere and surprises you. And the chorus just says, how did I get so obsessed with you? Like, how did this happen? What's happening to me? Why is my head up in the clouds? Why am I sweating? Why is my heart beating so fast? Like, this is crazy what my body's doing just because I met this person, you know? But the song was coming out around Valentine's Day. And so I just had this idea that it would be fun to put a sort of like twist on that. And so originally I was thinking of it as a horror romantic comedy, like within the span of the song, which is about 4 minutes long. I wanted it to go from like, oh my God, it's so adorable, these people are falling in love, how did I get so obsessed with you? And then by the end, it would be this like much, much darker version of Obsession, where I was imagining a lot of like fake blood. And but the thing is, I've never watched a horror movie. I'm too scared of them. So so I was, yeah, incapable of executing that idea quite. So we went for more of a stalker romantic comedy. You see these two people meet on the train and go on a date and, you know, kiss. And then eventually by the end of the song, the how did I get so obsessed with you is like her standing creepily outside of his window while he's like reading at night. And then I'm there playing the bass too, which like the upright bass is to me just kind of a fun like visual gag. Like, it's so big and ridiculous. So that was adding a level of sort of absurdity to the thing, where it's like not only is she out there obsessed with him, but there's this like bass player there with her too.
Oh,
Bridget Carney. Always so fun to hang out with you. Thank you so much for coming back to She Rose, and congratulations on Comeback Kid.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for She Rose. Thanks for being you. You're the best.
You're the best. Many thanks to Bridget Carney for being with us. Her new album, Comeback Kid, is out now on Keeled Scales. Today's conversation was condensed and edited for radio. And to hear more, download and subscribe to the She Rose podcast, distributed by Talkhouse and available everywhere. Next, we close the hour with a 30th birthday salute to Maggie Rogers and a 30th anniversary salute to the Sarah McLachlan album, Fumbling Towards Ecstasy, when She Rose Radio continues. Expectations got my confidence in check.
This is Matt Pinfield. I'm so excited to join the team here at 88.5 The SoCal Sound, a radio station truly dedicated to the community of artists and music fans everywhere. Join me as I'll be sharing my musical passion with you every weekday from 2 to 6 p.m. on 88.5 FM, thesocalsound.org, and the SoCal Sound app.
You're listening to She Rose Radio, and I'm Carmel Holt. Maggie Rogers just released her third album, Don't Forget Me. She announced her first arena tour dates, and this week she hits another milestone. Maggie Rogers turns 30 on Thursday, April 25th, and from the new album, here's the title track, Don't Forget Me.
Friend Sally's getting married, and to me that sounds so scary. I'm still trying to clean up my side of the street. I can't imagine what would happen, cause I'm still acting out of habit. Hoping dirty words just don't escape my teeth. Oh, but every time I try just a little, promise that I'll meet in the middle. Always find my way back to my feet. So close the door and change the channel. Give me something I can handle. I could love her or someone that's nice to me. Take my money, wreck my Sundays. Love me till you're next somebody.
God could be a family. Says he's got the greenest eyes you've ever seen. But it's crazy all the days she spends just following him to parties. She seems happy, oh, but that's not love to me. Oh, but every time I try just a little, promise that I'll meet in the middle. Always find my way back to my feet. So close the door, change the channel. Give me something I can handle. I could love her or someone who's nice to me. Take my money, wreck my Sundays. Love me till you're next somebody. Oh, and promise me that when it's time to leave. Standing, holding out for love, just waiting on.
on the next street just for me. Oh, just for me. So close the door and change the channel. Give me something I can handle. A good lover, someone who's nice to me. Take my money, wreck my Sunday. Love me till you're next somebody. Oh, but promise me that when it's time to leave, oh, won't you promise me that when it's time to leave, don't forget me. Don't forget me. This is gonna hurt like hell. Thank you.
Sarah McLachlan's third album, Fumbling Towards Ecstasy, is marking its 30th anniversary this year, and Sarah's doing a big tour to celebrate, which kicks off at the end of May. Just a couple months after that album was released in the U.S. back in 1994, Margaret Rogers, now known to us as Maggie, was born in Easton, Maryland, on April 25th. Now, 30 years later, Maggie's just put out her third album, and we're wishing her the happiest 30th birthday this week. We heard the title track to Don't Forget Me. That does it for this week's edition of Shiro's. Thank you so much for tuning in wherever you may be listening. Together, let's keep turning up the volume. Shiro's Radio is produced by me and is mixed and mastered by Kelly Drake. Our original theme music is by Lucius. Download and subscribe to the Shiro's podcast, which is distributed by Talkhouse and available everywhere. Call us toll free at 833-MY-SHIRO. Find us on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Carmel Holt, or find us at Shiro's Radio, or find us online at shirosradio.com. Until next time, remember, music is our superpower. I'm Carmel Holt. Thanks for listening.
88.5 FM, KCSN, and KCSN HD1 Northridge, Los Angeles. KSBR and KSBR HD1 Mission Viejo. A service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Member-supported public radio. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.
I drank black coffee to clear my head. Yes, every Monday morning I drank black coffee to clear my head. Because every Sunday night without you, baby, it's blue money, you know, baby, you know my soul is dead. Big boss man.